Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto, chapter 16, entitled King Chitraketu meets the Lord, text number 11. Nadatatmahi gunam Nadosam nakriya phalam Udasina vadasina Paravaradrik Iswaraha. Na, not. Adate, accepts. Atma, the Supreme Lord. He, indeed. Gunam, happiness. Na, not. Dosham, unhappiness. Na, nor. Kriyafalam, the result of any fruit of activity. Udasinavad, exactly like a neutral man. Asinaha, sitting in the core of the heart. Paravaradrik, seeing the cause and effect. Iswaraha, the Supreme Lord. Translation. The Supreme Lord Atma, the creation of cause and effect, does not accept the happiness and distress that results from fruit of actions. He is completely independent of having to accept a material body, and because he has no material body, he is always neutral. The living entities, being part and parcel of the Lord, possess his qualities in a minute quantity. Therefore, one should not be affected by lamentation. Purport. The conditioned soul has friends and enemies. He is affected by the good qualities and the faults of his position. The Supreme Lord, however, is always transcendental. Because he is the Ishvara, the Supreme Controller, he is not affected by duality. It may therefore be said that he sits in the core of everyone's heart as the neutral witness of the causes and effects of one's activities, good and bad. We should also understand that udasina, neutral, doesn't mean that he takes no action. Rather, it means that he's not personally affected. For example, a court judge is neutral when two opposing parties appear before him, but he still takes action as the case warrants. To become completely neutral, indifferent in material activities, we should simply seek shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Neutral Person. Maharaj Chitraketu was advised that remaining neutral in such trying circumstances as the death of one's son is impossible. Nevertheless, since the Lord knows how to adjust everything, the best course is to depend upon him and do one's duty in devotional service to the Lord. In all circumstances, one should be undisturbed by duality, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:47, Karmani evadikaraste ma phalesu kadachana ma karma phale hetu bhur mate sangasasarmista kwanam mate sangustva karmani. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you're not entitled to the fruits of action. Never consider yourself to be the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duty. One should execute one's devotional duty, and for the result of one's actions, one should depend upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here we find the situation where the son of Maharaj Chitraketu has died, and how it is said the Supreme Lord is neutral. And then the neutrality of the Supreme Lord is explained. And it said that neutrality of the Lord doesn't mean that he doesn't take any action. It simply means that he himself is not affected by these things. And why is it so? Wasn't it a tragedy? He says, no, because Krishna sees the bigger picture and sees that the matter of death is not so serious. Here in this material world, suddenly when an ambulance comes down the road with flashing light and siren blasting, everyone pulls over to the side because now it's getting serious, because it's a matter of life and death. It's the cutting edge. But the cutting edge is not life and death. The conditioned soul somehow or other thinks that the cutting edge is life and death, but the cutting edge is to serve Krishna or not. That is the cutting edge. That takes a second birth. That takes the birth that one takes by the mercy of the spiritual master. That takes Oma Jnana Timanandasya Gyanandana Salakya Sakshura Militam Nena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. That takes that the darkened eyes are being opened by transcendental knowledge. The spiritual master changes our vision once and for all. And he himself has a changed vision. Prabhupada saw Krishna in everything. There was an advertisement of of a paint company. And it said, this and this company changes the face of the world. And basically it showed a hand with a paint can splashing paint on planet Earth. We changed the face of the world. And Prabhupada said, no, that's us. That slogan is ours. We are doing that. Yeah. So in this way, Prabhupada would see Krishna everywhere. There was somewhere some neon light sign, and Prabhupada said, Chintamani? It didn't say Chintamani, but Prabhupada saw Chintamani. I mentioned the other day to some that in Amsterdam, on Dam Square, there's a Polish hotel called Krasnopolski. And Prabhupada saw it. He said, ah, Hotel Krasnopolski. And he said, oh, I want to stay there. That didn't happen, but he did give do a program there, actually. And now whenever we are on Dam Square, we always see Hotel Krasnopolski. And I'm walking there on the square chanting Krasnopolski, Krasnopolski, Krasnopolski. Because Prabhupada has changed my vision. Prabhupada changes our vision. And then suddenly we see Krishna everywhere. Whereas before, we could not see Krishna. That is the nature of the mercy of the spiritual master who opens our darkened eyes. And ultimately Krishna is the original spiritual master. He opens our darkened eyes. Dharmam tu saksad bhagavat pranitam. All religious principles begin from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They cannot be manufactured by any man. Therefore, there's no question of having manufactured some religion. It's like some people are trying, like Scientology was like a man-made attempt to come up with a religion. But what they did is they took something from different religions, then put it all together into a mix, and then, gave it that name. Now, is that completely bogus? Well, not completely, because they took something from somewhere, and a little bit of transcendental knowledge still comes through, right? Although that transcendental knowledge may be covered and covered and covered, but just a tiny little bit may still come through. So they may get a little bit of something, although maybe out of focus, maybe blurred, maybe incomplete, but something. So in this way, all the various religious principles in the world that have a connection with pure transcendental knowledge, yes, they bring something. Even impersonalism, although it is a Vaishnav sport to throw things at impersonalism, we regularly are cutting down impersonalism and so on. But in another sense, we can also give credit to impersonalists. They are better than materialists. At least they're striving for the absolute truth. So they got something right. Right? Life is not about sense gratification. For the rest, they have everything wrong. But at least they understand. Life is not about sense gratification. So we can give them their credit. And sometimes we do. Therefore, we can even respect a Mayavadi sannyasi, because he is after, so it says in Prabhupada's books, because after all, he has given up sense enjoyment, which is not easy. So respect for the fact that you gave up sense enjoyment. Unfortunately, you got it all wrong, what to do, but, you know, we recognize that you have some good intentions, right? But true transcendental knowledge comes in disciplic succession, and everything else will be perverted. It is very interesting that I have to just think for a moment. Satyaraj did this book about India, and it, what is it called, about Hinduism, the treasure of India, the hidden glories of India. Thank you, hidden glories of India. And you know, I was looking in the book here and there, and then somewhere one third down the book, I found it, a picture of the golden calf. Yes, in Krishna consciousness, we're worshipping the golden calf. So it's like, whoo-hoo, this is serious. Yeah, but it is a fact. It is auspicious to have a statue of a calf. Even Krishna is worshipping statues of calves. So nothing wrong to worship a golden calf, actually. Right, there we go. So that's interesting, but not as the Supreme Lord. One, if we say that the golden calf is the Supreme Lord, then we have it wrong. But if we say the golden calf is worshipable, yes, golden calf is worshipable. Just see. So it is interesting how. Between various views, religious views, wars can come about. Wars over golden calves. Some are more interested in the gold than in the calf, and some are interested in the doctrine. It's idol worship, and that should not be there. And it's like there's a certain. A certain religion's tradition that is very rigid about making any form of the Lord, and they are known as iconoclasts, the ones who are breaking the icons, who are breaking the deities and so on. And we had plenty of that in history. Even in European history, we saw that the Protestants, were not only protesting against corruption in Rome, but they were also protesting against all the statues and images in the churches. And one thing, at least something good I remember from school, is that in 1566. Somehow or other, remember that number. In 1566, they smashed all the images in the churches, all the statues that went around, and it's called, so what to do? Krishna is seeing all these things. He does not get emotionally involved. Krishna is seeing all the excitement of so many parties in this world. This party, that party. But ultimately, there is only one party, Krishna's party. And that party is really the party of pure devotional service. Everything else is just only partial. Only partial. And either negative or a little bit positive, or negative and positive. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described by Krishnadas Kaviraj, and it said, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even an innocent child can swim across the ocean which is filled with the crocodiles of various speculative theories. So here all kinds of philosophies are compared to crocodiles. And now we're going to send an innocent child and tell the child, listen, my dear child, guess what? Here's an ocean. You can do it. Go and swim across. And then, you know, there are all these crocodiles waiting for the little child. Innocent child swimming across ocean. Swim, swim, swim. Right? Crocs are waiting. Yes. So this is the world. The world is full of speculative theories. These days we live in a very comfortable world because you can get everything delivered at home. You can order a pizza and they come, and Uber Eats comes to deliver it to you. Someone on a bicycle with a bag, and he delivers to you whatever you need. Right? Nowadays, more and more people are buying in Amazon in New York. Everything is delivered via the internet. Shopping, your veggies, they're delivered at home by the internet. And everything is now the internet. So we're very fortunate because the crocodiles are also being delivered to us via the internet. We don't have to go swimming in the ocean anymore. Now the crocodiles come at home. Home delivery. You just download them. It's very easy. Download your crocodile. Oh yes, let me surf here, let me surf there. Let me check out the waves on the internet, and guess what's there on those waves in cyberspace? The same old crocodile who have a nice set of teeth and are just waiting for us. Therefore, somehow or other, we have to save ourselves. Krishna makes everything available, but then we have to save ourselves. Of course, there is mercy of pure devotees, and that can help. Like, for example, Nala Kuvira and Manikriva, they were the sons of Kuvira, and they were like extremely rich. Their father was very wealthy. So, you know, they weren't very serious about life, and they were just enjoying their senses, and they were getting highly intoxicated, and then without any clothes on, with ladies sporting in the waters. When Narada came by, then Narada thought, this is too much. Look at them. They have taken a high birth as the sons of Kuvira, and they've become so degraded. This cannot be. So, you know, since they love to stand naked, then, according to scriptures, if you love to stand naked so much, then you can become a tree, and you can stand naked for a long time. Right? So Narada thought, okay, let me curse them to become trees. But then he also desired that Krishna would personally deliver them after they had been standing. And now Krishna said, and that's in the Bhagavatam, Krishna is speaking, and Krishna says, I am not particularly inclined towards Nala Kuvira and Manikriva. Right? I don't have any special feelings for them. So why would I save them, you know, from this condition as trees? They simply themselves desire to be naked. All right, so now the material energy supplies them the facility to be naked. So why would I interfere? But because Narada desires it, then I will interfere. So it's the desire of a devotee that can break the neutrality of the Lord. And that is not only like the desire of Srila Prabhupada. Of course, the desire of Srila Prabhupada is so potent that he can bring blessings upon the whole world, right? But we can also desire. Oh Krishna, please, somehow or other let this person get the mercy. Oh Krishna, somehow or other let this person take a book. And although the person was totally not interested, absolutely zilch, no interest in spiritual life whatsoever, still, somehow or other, by the desire of the devotee, Krishna can interfere as the super soul in the heart. Boom. Person takes the book. I don't know why I took this book, but I took it. And maybe even that person wasn't the one who was meant to read it. There's that old story which came up in Hungary years and years ago, where some 13-year-old girl met a book distributor on the street, and she, you know, didn't have much chance. Beautiful young boy coming, they're like, blink, blink, blink. Whatever he says, yes. Okay, book, yes. You have any money? Yes. She bought the book. Then she came home. What have you got? Her mother said. What's that? That book. Here. She took the book. And then later, the mother of the mother, the grandmother, comes into the kitchen and sees the mother with the book. And the grandmother says, what's that? That book. And the grandmother says, here, give that to me. And the grandmother took the book. And then the grandmother read the book. And then the grandmother became a transcendental terror. She was just like relentless. The whole house had to be vegetarian. She was like, she wouldn't have it. Like in the end, what could they do? She's getting really fanatic about it. And she made everyone chant. She made everyone offer anything. And she was like a hardcore temple commander. And the whole house was on their toes. And eventually everyone just had to surrender. You know, chant Hare Krishna. In the end, the whole family became devotees. Just because grandma forced them. So the book never reached the person who it was meant for initially. It wasn't distributed. It's looking, where is the devotee? Where is the devotee? Is this person a devotee? Is that person a devotee? No, that's a demon. Another demon. Gosh, only demons today. But, you know, no, maybe not. But even a demon can carry a book to a devotee. So if somehow or other, and even a demon can take a book or devotional service in some way or other, and that especially becomes possible because of the desire of a devotee, because then Krishna gives up his neutrality and Krishna will intervene, and when Krishna intervenes, then everything is possible. As I'm telling these book stories, it is said that there was a story how Pragosh, the original ACBSP, distributed a book to a man, and the man asked if he could write his name in the book. So, you know, he did, and it's like, and the man's name was John Proctor, and he wrote to John Proctor. And then that man forgot the book on a bench. And then later in the day, someone else just sat on that park bench, picked up the book, and he opened it up, and he saw two John Proctor. And he got a heart attack because his name was John Proctor. Now, there were two John Proctors. I mean, I never heard of Proctor. But, you know, somehow or other, by Krishna's arrangement, the book reached the second person. That's a true story. True story. We've read in the so many miracles, right? We've read in the Lilamrita, Prabhupada's transcendental vision, and how Prabhupada sat on the park bench with this train conductor, and that Prabhupada told him that he had many temples and many followers and so on, although at that time he was still alone, but that only time was separating him from them. Right? So Prabhupada told this to someone. How do we know? How do we know? We know because this man, years later, went somehow or other with a relative to the Boston Temple. And there met Niranjan Maharaj. And then in the temple, he saw the Murti of Prabhupada. And then he said, That's him. That's him. He did it. He did it. He did it. And then he, okay, and Niranjan Maharaj, then he told Niranjan Maharaj the whole story. And that's how it wound up in the Lilamrita. Right? And that's how we know about it. Now it's a famous story. But it's just amazing. How this happened. And it's all like, you can see, Krishna's intervention. And it's all simply because of the desire of a pure devotee, the blessings of a pure devotee. Therefore, and of course, Prabhupada is speaking about, he says, Guru is one. Guru is one. In 1932, in a Vyasa Puja offering to his spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada begins to speak about Guru Tattva. And he says, Guru is one. And meaning to say that the absolute truth is one. There's only one absolute truth. Not two truths. One. One truth. Therefore, the Guru, all Gurus are one in the sense that they are representing the same absolute truth. But then Prabhupada in the same lecture says, but different Gurus are like different lights of different strength. Some are more bright, some are less bright. Right? Okay. So that is there. So in this regard, we remember, Yara deke tara kaha Krishna upadesh amar agyai guru haye tara edesh. That whomever we meet, let us instruct him about Krishna, and in this way, let us become gurus, and let us deliver the entire country or the entire world. So, in that way, everyone can do that. Everyone can be a guru. Very simple. Little Saraswati, 4 years old, was acting like a guru. Who is Krishna?
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
And then, and Prabhupada said, Saraswati is preaching so nicely. She was guru. She was guru. So everyone can be guru, and everyone can, every devotee can attract Krishna. And therefore every devotee can change Krishna's neutrality and make Krishna favor. And this is our business. Therefore we should not think, today only demons. Too bad. You know, or we should think, you know, I know Ljubljana. I know it like you don't know it, Maharaj. You're only visiting here. But I know Ljubljana is a city of demons. You know? Yes. One might see it like that. Yes. All right. And maybe it is. I don't know. I don't know Ljubljana that well. But maybe it is a city of demons. But whatever it is, whether it's a city of demons or a city of devotees, Krishna can intervene. And when Krishna intervenes, every demon can become a devotee. This is the business of the devotees, to turn crows into swans. That was what Prabhupada said. We turn crows into swans. So in this way, we can make the difference. And anybody can become a devotee. Anybody. Hiranyakasipu. It's possible. Kamsa had his moment of doubt. Anybody can become a devotee. Anybody. And if the devotees desire, Krishna can intervene and make the impossible possible. Any question? Any comment?
I was just wondering about the point about how we have home delivery of crocodiles of speculation in the ways of the internet. And I just wanted to know what was your observation of devotees in the movement getting into the internet more and speculation growing in our movement. Was there an effect or not? And
I think, personally, that right now it's the biggest problem that the Hare Krishna movement faces. I think it's that bad. It's the number one problem. If you would ask me, make a list of 10 problems in ISKCON, number one, the internet. Absolutely. Yeah. Then, number two, you talk about divorce or something. You can put so many things you want, right? Number three, veganism. I can put lots of stuff. Right? But I'm not getting into two and three or four and five. I stick with number one, top of the pops, It's the crocodile.
So I was just, how do we get that mercy of Lord Chaitanya to get through this crocodile?
Once upon a time, Ravindra Sarup, who is a scholar and who has read many, many books, right? And scholars, it is a difficult thing because they do not just read the books about what's right. They also have to study all the books about what's wrong. Yeah? So all the rubbish, they have to also analyze the rubbish, read it, and just cut it to pieces, right? So that we get rid of it, and so they have to defeat it. So therefore, scholars have to read a lot of rubbish. And it's really intense, right? So Ravindra Sarup was speaking about this with realization. And he was saying, what do we do with all this mundane information? He said, we have to look at it like boga. You have boga for the offering of Krishna. You have to cut away the parts that you cannot use, right? And then the good parts that you can use, those you have to offer to Krishna. So then you can use this mundane information, right? But otherwise, right, it is just simply unofferable and will just contaminate you. If you eat things that are not offered to Krishna, then the result is you'll get all kinds of, you get afflicted by lust and envy, because the ordinary foodstuffs are filled with the material desires of the cook and it's not only the cook, it's of everyone who was involved with it. If you have a cabbage and that cabbage wasn't offered, then that cabbage, all the sinful desires of the man who sold the seed in the shop are in there. They're in the seed. And then you grow it, and then that sinful farmer, you know, I mean, you see these farmers, right? You know, that farmer's, his whole consciousness is in the cabbage, right? And then it comes, and then it reaches the shop of the supermarket, and the ruthless owner of the supermarket, his consciousness isn't there. All the people who work in the supermarket, who are handling this cabbage, it's all in the cabbage. And then finally the cabbage comes there and goes into your kitchen, and then you don't offer it, and you get all that karma in one blast. So don't be surprised then if you get heavy attacks of lust, or if envy starts to emerge, and if your judgment becomes impure. So by offering to Krishna, we can protect ourselves. I always say to devotees, don't forget to make your phone a devotee. You know, we're preaching everywhere, but make your phone a devotee. 4x on that phone, right? Mm-mm-mm. Whosever phone it is, 4 regulative principles on that phone, right? And only Krishna Katha. Only Krishna Katha. And all the other rubbish. If there's anything else on that phone which is not Krishna Katha, now then you can offer that in the service of Krishna. Now, for example, the news, right? I mean, these days the world is crazy because there are some crazy people in charge of big parts of it doing really crazy things. And so one could read the news to sort of see where is it going. But again, it has to be offered to Krishna. Now we can, Cape Town, a place where I regularly go and you sometimes go, is a place where water is a big problem. Right now it's a bit better because it rained, but for a long time no water. Right? And then the BBC published a list of cities that would run out of water, and the 10 cities that were soon to run out of water, and London was one of them. That was interesting. I was thinking, wow, we should do. I told the devotees, I said we should do a water festival. And we just serve water that day. Right? Anyone, we offer them a glass of water. Right? It's a water festival. Right? And then we have a big sign with the BBC article. BBC says, London will run out of water. And like the whole city will come. And then we have somewhere some Bhagavad Gita verses. Anad bhavanti bhutani parjant anasambhava. Rains, depend, sacrifice and all that. I mean, that would be really powerful. So we can use it. You can use these things, right, for preaching. Then it's okay. Ganga. Ganga. Holy river, transcendental Ganga. The deity of Ganga is a lady that you also know, a goddess. And all these demigods and goddesses, they are riding on a vehicle. And the vehicle of Ganga is a crocodile. So why is Ganga riding on a crocodile? Because she is riding on the treacherous material energy. And yet she's not affected. She's very expert. She can ride on a crocodile. She enters from the spiritual realm into the material world. And she's remaining pure. That's Ganga. That's why the picture of Ganga on a crocodile. So you got to be like Ganga. Then no worries about the crocs, mate. And again, ride on those crocs straight to the spiritual world. There you go. Good idea. Use the crocs to distribute the mercy. A croc is a very Australian thing. That's why there's the Australian accent. Anybody else?
So about this internet and influences, I think it's maybe easier for the devotees that live in the temple or for the devotees that live at home and don't have a job to practice Krishna consciousness. But if you work, then you know, you have to deal with these influences that are demoniac, you know, and they do influence on you a lot and badly. So how to deal with that that does not affect you?
Yeah, Kali Yuga is all around us, right? Everywhere. Not only on the internet, it's everywhere, and we have to deal with it. And that is a problem. You know, Ajamil fell down when he saw a man embracing a woman. I mean, nowadays, you know, anybody can see that, right, on any street corner. So what to do? The times are tough, and it manifests everywhere. So we pray to Lord Chaitanya for protection. We try to use the positive side of the internet. Right? We can also listen to Prabhupada lectures on the internet, although we have to be careful that we don't start with that and then go a little further. And sometimes the wrong sites come on their own. They pop up. Right? You didn't really want them, but they just, somehow or other, you crossed something and you get a pop-up menu. Whew. Click. And so, also in the Hare Krishna movement, pornography is an issue. Right? It is actually an issue that we have to, that we're dealing with these days. Internet, because on the internet, it's very anonymous. So it is dangerous, absolutely. But if we use it consciously, and then the phone, that the hand just wants to go to that phone. And we have to restrict ourselves to our phone. You know, like iPhones now start to tell you how much time you spend on your phone. You can turn it off. I was afraid to turn it on. I said, if you turn that on, it's going to tell you you spend too much time on the thing. So I also try to minimize the thing. But I use it also for Krishna's service. So, what to do? But handle with care anything electronic. Handle electronics with care. You see it with children. As parents, you know very well. You know, they get addicted. Not only children get addicted, everybody gets addicted. Dangerous. But how not to use it? Just got a message this morning that the Swamis want me on a conference call. Now what do I do? So, it's hard to get out of it in this world, but we use it for Krishna, but very careful. Well, okay, thank you very much. Thank you, Ljubljana. It was very nice. Finally, I'm leaving today. And I was actually thinking that I was meant to leave today, and then I found out yesterday that I was supposed to leave yesterday. It's a total mess anyway. But I had a good sleep. Expensive, but good. So I thank you all for your association. It was very nice. And looking forward to make my visit with Jamastami a tradition and make it bigger and better and more exciting. So, see you again. See you, Prabhupada. Kijaya.